save big money on your next project. Now at Menards. Brighten up your garage or workspaces with LED utility and panel light bulbs from GT Light. GT Light light bulbs are energy efficient, and with their easy adjustable light panels, you can direct light where you need it most. Save big on all GT industrial utility and panel light bulbs. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for more hot deals happening now. Save big.
And we're on, and this is the Camp Report, 3YPC Camp Report for August the 21st, 2024. We're in Tampa, which means Chris Kaufman was here with me, which means Simon is not. I wonder when, because everybody was making the jokes like we were 2 yards per carry today, you know, all the short yardage jokes, which we just throw the ball.
And Lord knows our short yardage sucks.
Right, you know, but if we had, you know, if we had Simon here, I don't know when that's going to, like, what would happen? You know how you know, with the Infinity Stones, you know what happens when you have all of them? Like, what would happen if all three of us were in the same place at the same time?
I'm not sure, and most of the people that are in our Discord are not convinced that Simon and I are actually different. So I think that everybody knows that Simon is just a voice that I play.
Yeah. But he is not in, you know, he's not a bot. He's not a voice that I created, or he's not a paid actor, okay? He's not somebody that just comes on here and spews football takes. He's an actual real person, and we proved it today to a bunch of people in the beat today. So that was good to...
That is true. That is true. I had to prove to people that I'm not just the ghost in the machine.
Yeah,
or just Twitter's like new AI.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the last Camp Report until next season, because the regular season is upon us. After today, you have a preseason game on Friday that I don't think many starters will play in. Okay, today we had Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle suited up, taped up, not participating in 11-on-11, and Tyreek Hill not catching passes, which is a concern. But, you know, well, we shall know more with the first injury report of the season. You know how fun those things were last year, right? They might as well just put on the injury report, not here. Because Anthony Walker was walking around. He looked fine to me, you know. But he looked fine to me, like, you know, if he was just going to hang out with us at a cigar bar or something. You know, I don't know if he's ready to play football. I did notice there is something going on with his left leg. Because he had sweatpants, but there's something.
We got to invite him then.
Right? All right?
Well, that sounded phrasing.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to do the rundown today for all my notes, because we have Chris Kaufman here. So we got to get to these questions in the chat, which are, they're plentiful. All right? And this is the last Camp Report of the season. Next week, we go back to OnlyFans Q&A Live. We will do that every single Wednesday until the season ends. If you want to participate in, well, you can't participate on the Camp Report anymore because today is the last one until next year. But if you want to participate in OnlyFans Q&A Live, you want to ask questions live, you want to listen to the show live, you got to become a member of our Discord. And you do that by going to discord.gg/OnlyFans, and you become a member there for $3 a month. This show, as always, is brought to you by Prize Picks. It's year, by the way, I finally checked it out. It's year 5 with those guys, okay? Use the promo code 3YARDS. That's the number 3YARDS. And you make a $5 play, and they give you $50. It's as simple as that. Like, I don't know of any other promotion anywhere where you make a $5 play, and they give you $50. So just think of it this way. Make the $5 play, and if you win, you win. If you lose, you get $50 anyway. If you win, you get $50 anyway. So do it. That's 3YARDS. All right, let's get into these questions in the chat. I can give you an overview of what happened today. I thought the defense was pretty good. I thought the two-minute drill with Tua and company was not. It was a two-minute drill to nowhere. I think it gained 8 yards and it just stalled. Baker Mayfield was kind of sharp until he was not, until he kept getting sacked over and over again. Seedler with two. Calais Campbell with one. He was really, really good today. He was a factor. He was in the backfield. had a TFL and also punctuated practice with a knockdown of a Baker Mayfield pass from the 8-yard line. I gave Calais Campbell my practice player of the day. That's the final one for the year. There were no repeat winners this year. No repeat winners. Mm. There was also a lot of guys that.
Well, I think that Calais pass breakup at the end was a really big deal. They, you know, that was in a situation, and you know they were all celebrating. They were all hooting and hollering for that. I did see a sack from him, but Sealer did. You know, he was kind of tearing up that backfield today in the joint practices. From what I could see on the defensive side of the ball, I spent a lot of time watching the offensive side of the ball, and yeah. So I think that several of those big celebrations came out of Big Sealer today, and it was nice to see him see some life out of him. You know, because I wonder if he's missing his boy. You know, Christian Wilkins. And he's like sort of a naturally, I think, quiet type anyway, very intense, and you know, he kind of needs a Christian Wilkins, but I think that he had a really nice lively practice today. On the offensive side of the ball, I thought that Achan, you know, continued to look really interesting, getting the ball in the passing game, and it's continues to be the thing that I'm keeping an eye on most in these situations, in this preseason games, because this is a potentially high impact development for the Dolphins.
Yeah, that fade, they threw a fade to Achan, and first of all, it was a dime from Tua, but he got good separation. Like, he was a good 3 yards past the defender. They used a safety on him, by the way. They reduced down, and they picked him up in the slot, and he just ran the fade, got mm-hmm. right behind him. Dime, 60-yard touchdown. It was nice to see.
And there was also the one-on-ones and, you know, stuff like that, where it was just like, okay, it's not even fair. And a lot of that, to be fair, to be honest, it isn't fair to the defender in those one-on-one situations. It often isn't. It's like the equivalent of when the offensive and defensive lines do one-on-ones, and that usually favors the defensive line. But, you know, those one-on-ones, it was just like, yeah, there's no hope here of keeping up with him. And, you know, that's the thing to keep in mind. He's had a quiet couple of months, I think. I think that, you know, we ended the season very high on him, and thinking about all the things that that he could continue to work on. And, you know, I think these kind of dropping down fantasy boards, and we're talking about, oh, Jalen Wright, and we're talking about, you know, what Jeff Wilson is going to do, and, you know, all those things. And it's like, well, let's keep in mind that basically he had the same season that Jahmyr Gibbs had last year, except better. And I think that that's potentially massive for the Dolphins, and will be such a huge storyline as the offense goes this year.
All right, let's get to these questions. You've been listening to me answer questions all camp long. So now you're going to listen to CK answer your questions as I read them out. All right, here's the first one. Do you guys think there's any chance that the Bucs make Hainsey available today? Oh, by the way, Hainsey got absolutely whipped by Calais Campbell on one rep. The Bucs make Hainsey available now that he's a backup, and from what you saw of him out there, well, you just heard what I saw of him out there, would he be an upgrade for us? Well, mm-hmm, I'm desperate for offensive linemen, so yeah, naturally I would say, yeah, he's an upgrade. Your thoughts, Chris?
I've always been with it. You know, I think that he was a nice, solid player coming out. We kind of share our frustrations at practice with Liam Eichenberg. You know, in the last preseason game, and we still have to do our full 3YPC with Simon after that game on Saturday. But, you know, hey, the first drive was like 11 plays, and I counted that he was on the ground like 4 or 5 times in that drive. And it's just not safe. It's not safe for him. He's going to end up injured. He's going to end up injuring somebody else. And I'm not saying that that's what you see at the practices or what we saw today. I mean, that's definitely, in fact, you know, from what I could tell today, he looked pretty solid. But it's one of those things that's like, how much can the Dolphins really put up with from that respect? And so I think that, they do have to be looking around. But at the same time, you know, I go back to the game itself. Andrew Meyer had a very strong night, and he had a pretty strong first game too. And he is a, you know, he was a center by trade in college. And so while the Dolphins, I don't think, are going to want to have a rookie in the center spot because of how important it is to be a veteran and have be able to call the protections and everything, and be able to communicate, and having seen a lot, I think those veteran eyes are probably very important to this system in particular. At the same time, you know, that's a positive development for the Dolphins. So the Dolphins, I wouldn't be surprised, especially given how we tend to be a lot less satisfied with what they're doing on the offensive line than they do. They tend to be much more satisfied with what they have than we are. And so I wouldn't be surprised if the development of Andrew Meyer is kind of making them be like, you know, hey, Robert, who, you know?
Yeah. All right. Next question. Does Driscoll get a legit shot at right guard? I'll answer that one. No. They have an infatuation with Lester Cotton, and we know Liam Eikenberg is going there as soon as Brewer comes back. So I would say no, but you never know. You know, there could be a quick hook for Lester Cotton. Week one, I do believe that Liam Eikenberg will start the season at center, and then you could see Brewer 4 days later against the Bills on Thursday night. I think that that's the way they're going to go. If you count the days from laceration to being okay with snapping the football, it's about a month. So I would guess, expect Brewer for the Bills. Don't expect him for the opener against the Jaguars. Your thoughts, Chris, on Driscoll. Does he get a shot at right guard?
We were talking about this a little bit today. Well, first off, if they keep Liam Eikenberg on the roster, 53-man roster, that comes with a little bit of $3.5 million privilege, right? Because that's the salary that he's going to make this year. I'd have to check on this and see whether he qualifies for this rule or not. But veterans, if you have a salary of $3.5 million and you're on the roster, you know, week one, it becomes automatically guaranteed. I'm not sure if he's qualified for that yet. I'd have to check. But if it is the case that that they're just in it for his salary, are they in it for that $3.5 million salary, then they're going to want to get use out of it. And then you could kind of figure that he's going to get a lot of advantages in trying to get back that starting right guard position. But we were talking about it earlier today, moving him to center to replace Aaron Brewer is not actually doing him any favors, because it is providing Jack Driscoll the opportunity, the window to start at right guard. And maybe keep and hold that spot. And then all of a sudden Aaron Brewer comes back and Liam Eikenberg is like, oh, let me just take this right guard position. Well, if Jack Driscoll's already been playing there and is playing well, and sorry, you know, I hate that for you, but you know, you got to win football games. On the other hand, the downside there is the big hole in the argument on Jack Driscoll is who's starting right there at right guard today. Let me rephrase that so as not to get in trouble. Who was starting at right guard in the preseason game?
Mm-hmm.
Not Jack Driscoll, right? It was is Lester Cotton. And what are they doing with Lester Cotton? Why is he continued? We can't figure this out.
Why is he a thing in the year of 2024?
It's exactly correct. And we can't figure it out, he is certainly there. And while he is certainly there, if we're trying to read the tea leaves from the staff, you know, given that we don't know everything, Why is that? It's confusing, it's frustrating, but nonetheless, it is what it is. So that's a huge hole in the Jack Driscoll argument.
Yeah. Do you think that Mike McDaniel, if he came onto our podcast, can explain it to us in a way that it'll satisfy us why Lester Cotton is starting?
I don't think it would satisfy us. I think he'd probably just be like, you know, he'd probably be like a lot of other guys would. He's like, well, you know, you're not in those meeting rooms. You're not in the, you're not in the film review. You're not in the, you know, all that jazz. Okay. You're right. But I do review the games and, and I'm sorry. You know, go ahead, I guess. But arguably that is that position, guard position, is probably the least important on the offense. You know, they don't have a lot of respect for the interior positions. It doesn't seem like anyway, but the guard position I'd put even a little bit lower than center. The center can be important for a number of reasons for this offense. So I guess, you know, maybe fullback is less important, but, don't tell Alec Ingold that.
No. All right. Next question. Do you feel like OBJ will start the season on the pup? I'll take this one. No, I think he's playing sooner rather than later. The man traveled with the team to Tampa to do what? I don't know what, but he's with the team, which means he's in all the meetings. He's ramping up for the season. You know, I think it's camp. It's training camp. And guys like Odell Beckham Jr. have, I'm not going to say earned the right, because nobody's really earned the right to just skip camp. You know? But I think he's playing sooner rather than later. Would it surprise me if he's playing against the Jaguars? No, I don't think it would surprise me. I saw him 2 weeks ago, and he looked practice ready. They haven't rolled him out there. I think he'll be ready for the opener. I don't know if you have any thoughts on this. You saw him out there today. He was talking to Mike McDaniel. He was very interested in what the offense was doing. He was paying a lot of attention. He also spoke to Frank Smith. Very, very chatty with those two guys. Good signs, I think.
You know, you just have to keep saying, repeating the word to yourself over and over, veteran, 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 because, and that's the thing that you have to keep in mind, because as he sits out all of training camp and you know, boy, there was a clip the other day where he looked flat awful running around.
If that clip were real and he wasn't like trolling, if that clip were real, then his career is over. And not only his career is over, he can't walk ever again.
Yeah, right. I mean, it looked like you should be in a wheelchair.
I saw him two weeks ago. That was not an imposter sprinting and catching passes 2 weeks ago. Okay, I saw it with my own two eyes.
Well, I certainly hope not. At the same time, that's a reminder. I've been years, right? And so you can't help but get nervous over it. We all want to get nervous about this, and I think that is fair. But at the same time, he is a veteran that has seen a lot of things, seen a lot of offenses, seen a lot of defenses. He has done everything. He has practiced every single route that you can even imagine, and caught balls on every single route during the games. And so, you know, yeah, there is that chance that when he's ready, and then all of a sudden he slips in there, and it just looks like, you know, like he practiced the entire time, because he is a veteran. Mm-hmm. And so that's the thing that you have to keep in mind. But I'm getting nervous about it, because I also noticed that they're playing more 11 personnel or three wide receiver personnel than in this preseason than they have in any other preseason. Mm-hmm. And so I think, well, maybe they set out, you know, even though they added Jonnu Smith and have some things going on at the tight end position, maybe they kind of set out this year like, hey, we're actually going to use a lot of three wide receiver, and we're counting on Odell Beckham to be, you know, a multi-position guy, along with Tyreek Hill, who's a multi-position guy, and along with Jaylen Waddle, who's a multi-position guy, and River Craycraft as, you know, kind of the backup, who's a multi-position guy, and you know, I was talking to Braxton Berrios after practice today, and I was, you know, asking him, I said, hey, you and Malik kind of both have similar backgrounds from the slot. You know, and how important has it been this year that you are learning or know and are being taught multiple positions, and you know, without blinking an eye, you know, and very sincerely, he said, you know, that it, this year it's been huge that way. Being able to be a multi-position guy, being able to play X, Z, and F. And so Malik Washington, we see it in the preseason games. He's doing that. So all of this points toward OBJ being counted on during the regular season and being part of the whole theory of how this season is going to go. And so a disappointment there would be really costly. And so the fact that he hasn't been able to practice yet, still wasn't out there today. Very nervous, for me. But again, tell yourself over and over again, veteran, you know, and just accept it with a leap of faith.
All right, let's run through these. We got plenty in the chat. If you want to ask any questions, just put them in the chat, and we will get to as many as we can. And if we could get to all of them, we will. Next question, not sure how much you can share. Okay, I never like when those start that way, okay? But would like to get an updated assessment on the tangible improvements to Tua's game that you have each witnessed. You want to go first, Chris? You saw him today.
Yeah, actually.
A short practice.
Yeah, I didn't really I wouldn't say that on his throws in the game that there was really an opportunity to notice this, although I could go back and be sure, because I do tend to be tend to engage in some pretty close analysis of this sort of thing. But certainly in the practice today, there was a point where, you know, he really got under one. And it was, you know, off to the sidelines, and Braxton Berrios came, you know, made a break on it. I think it could have been a sail concept. I wasn't sure, but what the other receiver was doing on that side. But yeah, I mean, it was a great looking ball, and everybody, all of the beat guys, you know, were kind of whistling and saying the same thing. It was a really good looking ball, and I was kind of like, you know, are we thinking that this work with the quarterback coach has actually done something there with his, you know, velocity and just the overall quality of the ball? And I'd say, yeah, I'd say probably. I mean, if you're getting to be much more consistent in your lower body mechanics and your hips and things like that, then these are all enhancers to what, you know, a lot of people consider to be your kind of your natural base level arm strength. And his natural base level arm strength is enough, has always been enough, that actually he'll throw balls that'll clock out with almost any, not anybody, but almost anybody. And so if he is getting, and that's what Tom Brady did, because he's about the same arm really by nature. And what Tom Brady did is just that he improved his mechanics and his lower body and his hips, so much that he just was so consistent with it that he consistently comes out with a good looking ball, a good looking arm. Mm-hmm. Joe Burrow does that too. None of these guys have base level arm strength consistent, or that I would say is consistently above Tua's base level arm strength.
Yeah, and
I think a lot of that
is completely
mechanically. It was a big deal.
Yeah, a lot of that is completely overrated. One of my favorite stats ever. Do you know how many 50 air yard completions Drew Brees has in his career?
Who's that?
Drew Brees. How many 50
yard
completions does he have in his career?
Oh, I don't know. I wouldn't
zero.
Know.
Zero.
Are you talking about you talking about beyond the line of scrimmage?
Yeah.
Air yards, is that what you mean by that?
Yeah, 50 okay. Air yard completions. He has zero. Tua has six.
Yeah, I certainly believe that.
Tua has six in his career already. All right.
Yeah, but to be fair, the whole argument about arm strength is not really about that. It's about being able to throw from different platforms, being able to throw on the run, being able to throw with a messy pocket, being able to get it out to the sideline with velocity and not have the defensive back be able to break on the ball. You know, it's about a lot of different things, and I do respect arm strength when I am scouting quarterbacks and, you know, getting giddy about guys like, you know, Josh Allen way before he was a thing, and Patrick Mahomes way before he was a thing, and Jordan Love way before he was a thing. You know, and I'm getting giddy about all these guys. Arm strength is certainly playing into that. And so, you know, I think that it is a big deal. And it can be a big deal. I just think that Tua is probably takes a little bit of a bad rap, because of some mechanical deficiencies that are inconsistencies that have been allowed to persist in his career, and probably also got derailed by the catastrophic hip injury that he came out of college with.
All right. We're going to run through these because we're running a little late. This one's right up your alley. What traits make Myers the pick for backup center over others? Chris?
Yeah, I would say looking at him play ball, first off, he's a high effort, high energy player. And I think that's important, because this is a team that's going to ask you to do some things in space. It's going to ask you to do things, get lateral with urgency. That's the offense that he's in. And that can be in pass protection as well as run blocking. And so being a high energy, urgent, playing with a lot of urgency can be very important for the center that way. He's shown an ability during the preseason games anyway. I haven't really seen a bad snap in the preseason game. Maybe I'm forgetting something, but I know that there were some issues with that.
Let me tell you about Prize Picks. Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. All you do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Get in on the daily action with your friends and become part of the Prize Picks community today. Sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. One Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right. Only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free W's. Don't miss this deal on Prize Picks, because it's gone when September ends. Football is on the way, so do as I do and make Monday and Thursday night football more interesting. Download the Prize Picks app today and use the promo code 3 yards. That's the number 3 yards, and get $50 instantly when you play $5. That's the code 3 yards on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game.
It's a great time to save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Get free estimates fast on new energy-efficient windows from Jeld-Wen. Choose from vinyl or wood windows and customize the perfect size and unique features for your home. Save big on all Jeld-Wen windows today. View our entire selection of Jeld-Wen windows on Menards.com. Plus, the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now. Save big money
at in training camp from y'all, when y'all were there witnessing some bad snaps. But he's been fine snapping the football in the preseason games, and I would note that he was a college center. So I mean, this is not like Liam Eichenberg suddenly is a center and he never played before in his life. So I think that I would have confidence in his snapping. But what he can do snapping the ball is he has that thing. You know how Tua likes to lean, you know, basically as he's accepting the snap, right? Mm-hmm. Tua almost tries to get into his movement before he's done with the ball, and sometimes that gets him into trouble. Well, you know, you need a center that plays that way too in this offense. And that is to say that, you know, when they're snapping the ball, they're leaning and getting lateral immediately, like simultaneous as they're snapping the football and still successfully snapping it. He has that ability. He has that urgency. And frankly, when you get right down to it, and as for the mobility and being able to do things in space, he has that too. What you watch out for with a guy like that is it's like, okay, well, what's the weakness in the argument? Does he not have anchor? And I would say that he seems big. He seems pretty big and solid. He doesn't seem like a small dude at the center position. I wouldn't say he's a big dude either, but he seems like he's strong enough that way. But there was a moment in the preseason game against the Commander that, you know, a big big guy, I think his name is like Hagai Ndubuisi or something like that. He's 6'6", 323 pounds. This is a big dude, right? And you don't always like your centers to be matched up one-on-one, no help. Center's a position you naturally get the most help. You don't want your center matched up one-on-one, no help, against a massive human. We were talking about Vita Vea, actually, in practice today. And you don't want your center to be matched up often one-on-one in that situation. He was, and that guy beat him and got the sack in the Commander's game. So if you're looking for the chink in the armor, that's it. That's, you know, that's the thing to keep an eye on with him. But otherwise, the coaches will be the only ones that can comment on the on any other relevant weaknesses, because it would have to do with calling the protections and communicating and huddle organization and things like that. And we're not really going to know those things. Let's be honest.
All right. Next question. Did Storm Duck secure a spot on the 53 today? And if so, whose spot did he take? I don't think that any of those UDFAs, no matter how good they've been, have secured anything. I think, if I'm coaching the team, if I'm making the decision, if I'm Chris Greer, if I'm Mike McDaniel, I'm probably cutting all three, but I'm also bringing all three back onto the practice squad, because I think that there could be a roster player or two for next season there. And to quote Anthony Weaver, although he's very, very sunny with his proclamations, you know what I mean? You know, Anthony Weaver is not a negative guy. Okay, he's a pretty positive guy. He did say it would not surprise him if one of those UDFAs helped the team this year. If they're helping the team this year, then something went horribly wrong before in front of them. You know what I mean? I don't know if you have any thoughts on this.
I was doing the numbers on this, and the numbers are tight. The numbers are really tight. Okay, but we're talking about, even if you're assuming that Bradley Chubb and Chris Brooks and River Craycraft and Isaiah Wynn are all starting the year on reserve.
Don't assume on Isaiah Wynn.
I have no idea what to assume on Isaiah Wynn.
By the way, we went through an entire training camp, and I didn't see him. Nobody saw Isaiah. I didn't see Isaiah Wynn. And by the way, I have to report this.
You know, is he alive?
Yeah, well, nobody knows. Nobody knows that. And I got to report this. I can't believe I didn't say this at the top of the show. I completely jinxed Jason Sanders, because there was a minute
you
and
did.
4 seconds
You 100%
left.
Did. Yes. This is on you.
There was a minute and 4 seconds left in training camp, essentially, for Jason Sanders.
Training camp was going to be over. This was the last one.
Yes, and he's kicking, and I'm like, you know what? He's been perfect all of training camp. The next one, doink, right off the right upright.
You said, you sat there and you said he's been perfect. He only has a minute left. He only has 2 minutes left, and he hasn't missed one all camp. Like, man, is he gonna have the perfect camp? And then a minute 4 remaining, and he doinks one off the upright, and that was 1,000% your fault. it was incredible, but no, I mean, going back to the numbers thing. Keep this in mind. Okay, Saran Neal, he's going to play he's going to be there because of special teams. He has to be, right? Especially with the new kickoff thing, right?
Yeah, and if they have a dedicated captain McMorris, for special teams, he could have the C. He could have the C for sure.
Yeah. Think about Patrick McMorris as a fourth safety and a draft pick, a guy that certain people in that draft room, as per McDaniel himself, coaches, scouts, were absolutely targeting, pounding the table for, like, hey, we want this guy. And he was sort of an unknown, nobody knew much about him when he was drafted. So he was like kind of like their secret, you know, their secret gift to themselves. And what has he done in the two preseason games except impress and play really well?
Yeah, and so, Isaac Campbell, you know, Isaac Campbell is as much of a lock as you can get, really. because he's going to be a core special teamer.
So then, and we're talking about Ethan Bonner, and we're talking about Cam. You think they're going to cut Cam Smith? No. You think they're going to cut Ethan Bonner? No. And then Javon Holland at safety, and so, you know, it's sort of like, okay, well, who isn't making it? You know, even assuming that all those guys that I talked about before start out on reserve lists, you are absolutely running out of room on their 53-man roster. And so, you know, everybody you think is safe, everybody that you think, man, you know, they can't cut this dude. Boy, they're going to cut a lot of those people that everybody just thinks is uncuttable, that it can't be risked. And to be fair, that risk is overblown every single year. Everybody is always convinced that every one of our guys is going to get snapped up off of waivers, and then we go and it's like, nope.
Yeah, we just cut Mike Haynes.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, it's not, it doesn't happen. So keep in mind that the practice squad is more relevant now than any time in NFL history. And that the practice squad will be 17 players, so that we will have 70 players that you might as well consider to be on roster.
Yes.
Because we have so many people on practice squad, and those players on practice squad can be brought to the game three games, just dressed out and everything, and still not actually on the 53-man roster. That's such a big development as far as NFL management goes, roster management goes. And people kind of underrate that. So everybody's like, oh, what about the 53? What about the 53? I don't give a shit about the 53 anymore. I give a shit about the 70. You know, there's a 90-man roster right now, and they're going to have to cut down to 70.
Because Mike McDaniel keeps referring to having a depth chart of the 69 on his wall. Is it 16 or 17?
Well, he's forgetting his own 17th international player, Baron Mattos.
Yes.
You know, and that's where that comes from. If they did not have the exemption spot, the 17th man exemption spot on the practice squad for an international player, then yes, it would be 69. But otherwise, they do have that. So it's going to be 70. It's going to be a 70-man depth chart, just as Mike McDaniel says. And the 53-man roster is only relevant for the ones that you think are absolutely in danger of being snapped up off of waivers. And I know fans tend to overestimate that by a country mile. So I think that we need to get out of our heads about the 53 and get into our heads about the 70.
All right. This is rapid fire as we wrap this up. How do you feel this team matches up to last year's team? Where do you think they improved and where do you think they got worse? I'll go first. I think they improved in their pass catchers, Jonnu Smith, Odell Beckham, whenever he gets on there. I like the rotation at defensive tackles. I think they improved the linebackers, and I think the secondary is vastly improved because I think it's deeper. And the safety group, I think, is also deeper. Your thoughts, Chris?
I think overall, I mean, if we're counting last year, and, you know, they had Robert Hunt on the offensive line and Connor Williams, and, you know, now I don't think Connor Williams, Aaron Brewer is a big deal. I think they're both going to be pretty good. But I would say that on paper, the wide receiver unit with Odell Beckham is supposed to be better. But we haven't seen Odell Beckham. So then we get back to that old argument. I think the tight end unit is certainly improved. The running backs unit is improved. And this is improvement by virtue of maturation of players in addition to, you know, new guys. So I do think that we're going to have strong running back and tight end involvement, stronger than a year ago. Those are big improvements. The defense is going to be improved, I think, by virtue of rotation, keeping guys fresh, and not, you know, maybe we're a little less likely to run into issues with, you know, the last 5 minutes of the Tennessee game. which were a problem. And so I think keeping everybody fresh is important that way. I like the corner position better. Well, I didn't just overall defensive backs. The defensive backs have been improved. You know, we will see on the front seven. Particularly, I'm still a little nervous about the Long and Jordan Brooks. They have a long way to go before they have true chemistry with one another. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes and how long it takes them to get it. But I think rotation, keeping everybody fresher, and then on the back end on defense, and then on the offense, in theory, we should have a third wide receiver that we can hang, that we can actually be proud of. And then we have more tight end involvement, more running back involvement. Devon Achan is going to be, you know, if he goes where he can go, is it's going to be one of those, you know, hey, well, how did you improve? Well, this guy's a superstar. That's how you improved.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next question. So much competition for roster slots at defensive tackle. Who was looking hot and who was not looking hot? That's hard to tell, especially when everybody's just tagging off. I like the entire defensive tackle group. I guess if we have to nitpick, Benito Jones hardly practiced at all. He's looking larger than usual. You know, I don't want to get into that man's diet or whatever, but he's a big guy, and he looks a little bit bigger. Maybe it's because I haven't seen him in like 2-3 weeks. But I guess you could say maybe he's in a little bit of danger. I would say this. Watch the game, and let's see what happens.
What was that? You broke up. You broke up a little bit, buddy.
Okay. Let's say watch the game, and let's see how much Brandon Peely plays on Friday. If he doesn't play at all,
yes,
I would say Benito Jones is in a little bit of trouble. But I think that's pretty much the only guy that I can say. I'm not that I'm disappointed, but you know, the guy didn't practice. The guy didn't have a training camp. You know.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I would have said, you know, coming into the roster, Tier Tart was always kind of a little bit on the iffy. End of things, just because, you know, you cannot watch the tape of him and think that he's a high motor guy. That is just impossible. That doesn't mean it's not good, but you know, he's not a high motor guy. Benito Jones is, for a big dude. That dude runs out the place, and it's very impressive on tape. But he hasn't been there, and if he's not there, you know, it's cracked the door open for Brandon Peely. You know, because he's actually been good in the games, like legit. And you know what? There's other guys that have been good too. Leonard Bain's been good in the games, or in the preseason game. And what's his name? Isaiah Mack was good in that first game. And so, you know, you have bodies there, and it's starting to look, you know, iffy to where, hey, just because you were signed to a veteran contract doesn't mean you should take anything for granted. And that's the unfortunate position that Benito Jones is in right now, just not practicing. Now, I would say this. Jonathan Harris is the guy that most people are sleeping on, I think, as far as having done well in the preseason games and being used in such a way that makes me think that, you know, hey, he's finding himself in there. We know about Sealer. We know about Calais Campbell. We know about Neville Gallimore now. And we know about Deshaun Hand. I think that a lot is assumed there. But, you know, Benito Jones versus Peely versus Jonathan Harris. You start to get into some real questions there.
All right. Only two more questions. How do you guys grade Malik's run blocking, Malik Washington? Travis seems to think, and that's Travis Wingfield, does a great job with the Dolphins and the Drive Time Pod. Travis seems to think he's second only to Craycraft already.
Oh, that was my line. You're talking about Travis line. Said that. I said that.
Yeah, you said
that. That's
say
what
that.
I said.
Yeah, people are giving credit to everybody.
Said that on Twitter the other day.
Yeah. Yeah. Malik, look, I could take this from Malik Washington, the physical part of the game. And I know it's weird to say that about somebody who's 5'8". But the physical part of the game, I don't think is a problem. I think the problem with him is probably timing up with Tua Tagovailoa, because he has not had the reps with first team quarterback. So, you know, we shall see. Now he's going to get a lot of reps with Tua, because in the regular season, that's how it works. It's like 95% of the reps go to the first team, you know, or the first team quarterback. Mm. So he'll get a chance to time up with Tua. He has not in training camp. I'm not going to call him a disappointment. He hasn't been a home run. I thought that he would, you know, grab a roster spot and playing time immediately. Now he might get playing time just because, by default, because they have so many injuries in the wide receiver room.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you have any thoughts on
this. Think that's what we're looking at. I think that's what we're looking at, is just there's so many injuries, and it's kind of lucky that they're training him at all the positions, not just you know, exclusively slot, exclusively F, and that might be by necessity, and it probably has kept him from making the impact on your impressions of camp and your impressions during the preseason game. But at the same time, you know, that might be what that's what they're shaping up to need from him this year. So, no blocker. He's you can just tell by the way he's used. You can tell by the way he's used as a blocker. He's the one lining up, in, you know, kind of a close to the formation, you know, what they call a nasty split. He's the guy lining up there. He's the guy that'll, hey, wow, he's taking on a linebacker. Wow, he's chipping on a defensive end. You know, wow, he's the guy that is asked to do that in these preseason games, and that's meaningful. I think the physical part, you know, him being a dog is good for him. He's natural at that. How much impact is he going to make in the passing game? I think the more that you're using him on deep routes, it's not going to be as impressive, but I think that they're going to probably use him on a lot of short stuff though.
All right, and this is the last question: who performed the most above your expectations in training camp, and who performed the most below them? I'll take this first. Above, a couple of defensive tackles: Calais Campbell. It's year 1,000 for him. He's 86 years old, and man, he gives me confidence when he's lined up out there. You know. It's just nice to see a 6'8", 300-pound guy out there who's still strong, still can get to the quarterback, make plays. Punctuated practice today with a knockdown of a Baker Mayfield pass. So he's probably number one on my list. And 1A is probably Neville Gallimore, another defensive tackle. And it was good to see that the tape I watched of him with Dallas last year, I watched every single snap because, quite frankly, there weren't that many of them. All right. I watched every single snap that he played last year for the Dallas Cowboys. And I thought it was interesting that Dan Quinn ran across the field, shook Mike McDaniel's hands, gave him a hug. And then he went right to Neville Gallimore, gave him a big hug, and started chatting him up right away. He knows, he recognizes that guy was a good player. Problem last year is, like, you know, and I was talking about this today with Travis and Chris on the sidelines. You know, these guys are still human beings. All right. You play me 8 snaps today, and then next week you play me 24 snaps, and I start to think maybe I'm going to be a part of this defense. Then you play me 8 snaps again. It's really, really hard to really put a lot of good tape forward. I thought his tape was good last year, and he's played well, and he's had a good camp, and he's played well in the games as well. So those are my two guys. I don't know if you have any guys you want to shout out as far as,
well, you know,
who's performed well, who's been below expectations so far in camp.
See, but here's the thing, and I will make no bones about it. I'm a games guy. I'm not a practices guy. You're the practices guy. You've been at every practice. I've been at one today. You know, it was an hour and 40 minutes. So, you know, what am I? I'm not even going to try and pretend. And unfortunately, a lot of people do. But I, you know, I think that I can speak on the games and overall. I am disappointed by guys that aren't there. That, you know, haven't been able to be healthy and be much involved, you know, Benito Jones being one of them. You know, I think that's okay to be Odell Beckham. Massive disappointment that he's not been able to do anything yet. Isaiah Wynn, massive disappointment that nobody even knows if he's alive. And, you know, I think that Anthony Walker hasn't been able to be there in a bit. in a minute. You know, so I think that those guys are disappointing. As for who's been disappointing in the games, though, it's definitely Skylar Thompson the most, and you know, not too far behind him is Mike White. So the quarterbacks behind Tua Tagovailoa have been very disappointing in the games. Up the and so I think that those guys are disappointing. I've been a little bit disappointed, I'm going to be frankly honest with you, in the games by the play of David Long and Jordan Brooks. I think that they're not there yet. I know that they have the traits, and it's probably going to be fine. But, you know, this looks a lot like David Long last year when he was learning a new Vic Fangio defense. And he couldn't, you know, Vic Fangio kept subbing him off the field for Andrew Van de Ginkel. You know, because he was so frustrated with David Long. It took a little bit for David Long to really come up in that system. And we forget about that. But now you have two guys, David Long and Jordan Brooks, in the new system. So they are not fully up to speed yet. Who am I really liking? Who's you know, convinced me positively are making impacts just today in practice or in the preseason game? Certainly Devon Achane. I think that's going to be a highly impactful development for the Dolphins. I think that you know, the defensive line all the way around, minus the guys who have been absent, have been far better in the preseason games than I kind of imagined that they would be, based on how they constructed the unit. Ethan Bonner has been, you know, has been good, was good in that first game. He didn't play the second game. Cater Kohu has been a positive development, to the point where I think that Ethan Bonner and Cater Kohu are kind of going to share number three corner duties this year. I'm not trying to, you know, denigrate Cam Smith at all. I just think that Ethan Bonner is above him, ahead of him as an outside guy, and Cater Kohu is the top inside guy. And so whether Ethan Bonner plays or whether Cater Kohu plays will depend on the game plan and what you're doing with Jalen Ramsey. Are you going to move Jalen Ramsey to the interior or to the slot, or not? If you're not moving him to the slot, then Cater Kohu comes on. If you are moving him into the slot, then Ethan Bonner comes on. So I've been, you know, happy with the development of those guys. And then I'll give a last shout out to Saran Neal. I mean, I didn't expect him to play well in the preseason games aside from special teams. I mean, he's kind of played well.
All right. And we're going to call it right there. By the way, somebody has to be trolling me in the chat, because Dolphins Craze 305, who happens to be our trivia champion, he gets to defend his title, by the way, in a couple of weeks. He puts in the chat, what do you guys think of Isaiah Johnson? Kyle loves him. So it's happened now to me as well. I'm the Isaiah Johnson.
He's trolling you.
Not Kyle Krabs.
He's trolling you.
Okay. I'm the Isaiah Johnson guy. All right.
Alf will fight you over this.
Okay. I'm the Isaiah Johnson guy. And when he gets cut in a few days' time, all right, and he ends up starting for the Colts and makes 10 all pros, I'm going to be the one who's going to claim him. All right. So I'm the Isaiah Johnson guy. All right, that's it. There is no more. That is it. That's it for training camp. There is no more training camp next week. We start talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars. There still is a game to play, and Chris Coffin will be at it, and we'll get his report on it on the next 3YPC after our next 3YPC, which we will do in tomorrow's time, because this is sketchy, sketchy, sketchy Wi-Fi here in a hotel room. All right. It's a miracle.
Yeah, we could tell the entire recording. Barely.
Yeah, we barely made it through this. But, all right, that's it. There is no more. That's it for training camp. Next week, we begin with OnlyFans Q&A Live again. And if you want to become a member and you want to participate and ask questions, you could do that by going to our Discord, and that's at discord.gg/OnlyFans, and you become a member there for $3 a month. All right, that's it. Talk to you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to 3 Yards Per Carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.
Sports.
save big money on your next project now at Menards. Brighten up your garage or workspaces with LED utility and panel light bulbs from GT Light. GT Light light bulbs are energy efficient, and with their easy adjustable light panels, you can direct light where you need it most. Save big on all GT industrial utility and panel light bulbs. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for more hot deals happening now. Save big.